God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers, wink his eye. He spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. I invite you to imagine a couple things. Just imagine the intricate clockwork, not the blind clockmaker, of course, but that designed by God that's happening all around you at this very moment. It's happening within you at this very moment. Oxygen molecules are being moved through your body in the speed that they should be, far faster than most people think. The sun is going to be where the sun should be for wherever you're at. And that all happens, well, we think automatically. And of course, when God sets something into motion and says it will be, that it is. Now imagine Washington, D.C. I continue to marvel at the way God is revealing to us the utterly hopeless situation of humans rescuing humans as humans depend on humans to be their gods. I continue to marvel at this, even as I continue to apologize to God for ever having been a part of the Washington, D.C. system. If you've not heard this story, I'll tell that towards the end of the show today, the last few weeks in D.C., and I walked into a church. I didn't realize it was a Catholic church. Well, that didn't matter much, except that the priest came out. And he looked at me in a way that indicated to me, oh, you too. Yeah, I've seen this before. It made an impression, and I'll talk about that at the end of the show. The Washington, D.C. system has grown into something that exists to protect itself. It's not sacrificial love on which they operate. No, not. I mean, there are people there who do, but not at the top. We are to sacrifice for them. Now, think of this biblically. The sacrifices we make for them. They ask us to make sacrifices in terms of our kids, their minds, their bodies, their souls, to Washington, D.C. After all, they know best how our kids should think in terms of gender and race. And so we're asked to make these sacrifices. You might think, they would say, that we're taking control of your kids. But in reality, of course, they're ours, they might say, internally. You can look at the function in our world and again step back and have a comparison in mind. What's your favorite way that God shows his majesty of his design? I have many. Some of them are like hummingbirds. We are blessed to see hummingbirds in our backyard. We back up to a good amount of property in North Idaho. That's a fantastic way to see God's design. That thing hovers, and it's designed to hover. Or big cats. When I was in Mexico, they had a couple of tigers that had been bought. They purchased them from cartel bosses back in the day. Cartel bosses had these tigers as sort of a status symbol, and the tigers never really understood what it is to be wild. It's sad, and it's just majestic to watch a 300-pound being jump 12 feet without effort into the air. God's design. That's how cats are made. Compare that to Washington, D.C., Jack Smith, the prosecutor going after President Trump, well, one of the many, many prosecutors, Jack Smith being the special prosecutor, intends to charge President Trump with, of course, anything but fomenting an insurrection. He's not charging him with that, but he intends to derail the presidency. He's asking that Donald Trump be treated differently than every other office holder in the history of the nation. And he would tell you in the future of the nation, because of the speech President Trump gave on January 6th and because of the speeches and Twitter posts he'd made before that, it is Jack Smith's opinion, or at least his hope that people will believe its opinion, that Donald Trump should not have immunity as a sitting president from prosecution like this. You can go through the long, long, long list of comparisons, and these are almost now cliched, of Democrats offering things far worse than President Trump said, far worse and far more specific. I don't know why they're not in the streets every day. They bring a knife, we bring a gun. Backing, literally backing terrorist groups who actually and literally shot at cops in our streets. Cammy Harris did that. Is she immune from prosecution? Jack Smith's drive to do this flies in the face of equal justice. That's quite obvious. Common blessings. Just to compare again. Right now, all of us experience the same common blessings. We experience air and water and heat and breath in our lungs. These are all common blessings the Lord has provided. All too many people hurt for food, but it's not because the food's not here. It's because the supply chains are broken and human sin problems entered and greed has entered. But man, it's majestic the way food can grow. A seed. My wife is an enormously skilled teacher. God has gifted her with an ability to impart knowledge to kids in ways that just, I love watching it. The times I get to hear her doing her tutoring online, it's just absolutely inspiring the way God can use her. She used to teach a unit on seeds. She loved that unit because of the majesty of a tiny little object becoming a massive tree. And I know that that's also cliched, but think again of the comparison between Washington, D.C. and God's clockwork design that never fails, cannot fail. What is he telling us? As he allows Washington, D.C. to rot on itself, what is he showing us? I think it's pretty clear. Some trust in chariots and horses. As for me and my home, we will trust in the Word of God. That's what I think he's showing us. You have a decision to make. Secretary Mayorkas is going to be apparently impeached. That's going to happen tomorrow as the Republicans decide finally, the Homeland GOP finally intends to impeach a guy who refuses to do his duty, which is to secure the border. It was an amazing thing. It was an amazing thing to be checked with my passport and asked a couple of questions as I re-entered my own country. I did it gladly. If you're going to do a thing, do it well. And you know what? Honestly, I should say that the DSH agents with whom I interacted were fully professional and, in fact, cheerful and helpful in reality. And they deserve that because sometimes they just get bagged upon and they shouldn't be. But my goodness, what an act of theater. When 9 million people have crossed without any knowledge of who they are, Mayorkas is finally going to be impeached. But this might be good news. After all, part of the job of leaders is to hold other leaders to account. But there is this issue of timing. This is from the House GOP, who's made this decision to impeach Secretary Mayorkas.
I'm a top grader on myself, and I give myself an A for effort.
A border shutdown in El Paso, Texas, as hundreds force their way onto the Paso del Norte International Bridge.
The Loopville crossing has been closed due to a recent surge of migrants beyond what Border Patrol agents can handle.
Outnumbered and out-resourced, Border Patrol agents say they are struggling to keep up with this massive influx of migrants descending on our southern border.
Why were you not prepared for this?
We have seen large numbers of migration in the past.
12,000 people in a single day crossing the border illegally. That's an all-time record.
How can you say the border is secure?
It is my testimony that the border is secure.
Is the border more secure now under your leadership?
Congressman, it is no less secure than it was previously.
It is quite a remarkable moment to see the DHS secretary insisting that this border is closed.
Do we have operational control, yes or no?
Yes, we do.
By what measure is it secure now, sir?
So there is not a common definition.
That's the definition of operational control.
Based upon the definition you have, sir, up there, no.
We don't have operational control.
No, sir.
What's your definition?
What our goal is to achieve operational control of the border.
So now you can see, he just continues to devolve in a statement. Well, it's completely secure. Now our goal is to have it secure. Secretary Mayorkas, and I don't say this with glee, is an absolute liar. He has become the lie. Now, I cannot read into his heart. Of course, only God Almighty can do that. But I can look at the patterns. I can look at the fruits of his work. And I can look at the statements of Democrats. Well, in fact, the passive acceptance of Republicans. There is no glee in what I'm about to say. Mitch McConnell wants these immigrants. That's just point of fact. The CEO Roundtable and the National Chamber of Commerce, This is one of the things that they buy from Mitch McConnell and from other Republicans. Democrats are just more open about it. Think again of God's law. We have a couple, three cats. In fact, one of them is sort of nearing the end of her life. A cat we rescued and gave a good, good, long and warm and loving home as she wrapped up her life. But if you take a young cat or even a mid-age cat, you pick it up and hold it in your arms and you hold it so its back is in your hands, its feet are pointed up, and you drop the cat will flip around and land on its feet every single time. It's part of God's law, part of his order. It's gravity, and it's also the way cats are designed. The godless border, where sex trafficking is enabled and human trafficking for labor is enabled, that is not godly. Nor have we forgotten how to secure a border. The fact is, Mayorkas is part of a plan to flood this country with illegal immigrants for political reasons. Oh, he's being impeached, apparently. We'll talk about the timing of that. This is New York Congresswoman Clark. Listen to her as she talks about why she seems to be thrilled with illegal immigration.
I'm from Brooklyn, New York. We have a diaspora that can absorb a significant number of these migrants. And when I hear colleagues talk about, the doors of the inn being closed, no room in the inn, I'm saying, I need more people in my district, but just for redistricting purposes. And those members could clearly fit here.
Well, here's what she's saying, is that every illegal immigrant who goes into her district, Yvette Clark's district in New York, gives her more political power. So she's shipping bodies illegally across the border without a single care as to who owns those bodies. Oh, God. But that's not what the coyotes will tell you. They own those people until those debts are paid. We just have no idea when children come across the border if that's their parent or someone trafficking them. They don't check. Her comparison to this, and you heard it, of course, trying to compare this to the Lord Jesus and his family visiting to be counted in a census. Now, of course, that is not sincere. She doesn't make that a sincere comparison. But it's a sincere effort to manipulate the political process to, in other words, rig elections. Flooding districts with illegal immigrants to increase, A, to change the voting map, redistricting, and B, to get more power in Congress? Well, that's election interference. It's fraud. It's stealing elections. Just as certainly as altering a ballot. So thank goodness, Secretary Mayorkas, the Republicans are finally going to impeach him. It's fantastic news. And oh, by the way, the Republicans have also decided to give Democrats absolutely everything they ever wanted in an enormous spending bill, a $1.66 trillion monstrosity of debt, and funding of departments that do not mean America well. No, I'm not being hyperbolic. The Department of Homeland Security from the top does not mean America well. They're participating in a massive, massive rigging of elections and rigging of where federal money's full. That's plainly obvious. The timing is this. Let's give the base a little red meat. Let's give them some red meat to chew on. That red meat, of course, being, let's go out and impeach Mayorkas. Probably nothing will happen. Probably won't be convicted. Mitch McConnell likes the open borders, but let's give him some red meat. Think again of God. He could use us manipulatively, but he won't even force us to come his way. We'll come back on the Disciples View with a very, very brave set of military veterans making a very interesting statement. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I didn't get to this last week. I think it's important. A group of military leaders have signed on to a pretty extraordinary document. Brad Miller, veteran USA. Brad's significantly underdescribing himself. I think it was Brigadier Lieutenant Colonel. I think it was that. No, Lieutenant Colonel. Mark Bashaw, former First Lieutenant United States, USA, former Master Sergeant United States Air Force. Pete Chambers, Lieutenant Colonel USA. It's a long list. People who served this country with great bravery and absolute distinction. And the document begins this way, and it should sound familiar to anyone who's studied the founding of the United States of America. In the course of human events, it sometimes becomes necessary to admonish the lawless, encourage the faint-hearted, and strengthen the weak. In the course of human events, of course, from the Declaration of Independence. We've reached just such a time in our history. The affairs of our nation are now steeped in avarice, corruption, and our once stalwart institutions, including the Department of Defense, are failing to fulfill the moral obligations upon which they were founded. Standing upon our natural and constitutional rights, we hereby apprise the American people that we've exhausted all internal efforts to rectify recent criminal activity within the armed forces. Certainly, I should have said avaricious instead of avarice. In the Declaration of Independence, our founding fathers sought separation. We seek no separation, but through this letter and the efforts and we pledge herein, we pursue restoration through accountability. We intend to rebuild trust and restore the rule of law, particularly within the armed forces. Ultimately, we strive once again to become a moral people, restoring our nation and making it again worthy of the great gift of liberty won by the colonial era American people. It's a fantastic pledge they make to run for office, to recall from retirement military leaders who've been forced out through corruption, etc., to fight together. And they wrap by saying, we will fight to enforce that law and put an end to the two-tier justice system. May future generations see your efforts, and God willing, may they also be recipients of the great gift of liberty that we've had the honor of safeguarding. In fact, that's the most important phrase, God willing. I got to know Brad Miller a little bit. I had him in my program right after. He was let go. Well, had his command taken away from him because he refused to abide by the injection diktats. That cost him dearly because he'd spent a lifetime in service of America simply to be able to, well, continue to serve. When I had Brad on my program, he and I talked about what happened. We talked about what he intended to do. The Lieutenant Colonel was very, very open with me about the degree to which the corruption had reigned. He said and talked a lot about choosing country over government.
When you decided to not take the injections, I saw that as an act of service. What was the, was that it? Was it for you an act of service that you're still protecting people? Did you feel it that way?
Sure. So I think 100%. The way I describe it is I think what we're seeing here is a series of paradoxes. And so, you know, the way I explain this to a lot of people is like, hey, we're in a situation where reality is not necessarily what you think it is. And there are a lot of things that maybe on the surface don't make sense, but you got to look a little bit deeper. So, for example, in a functioning society, the military and the country itself should not be oppositional towards one another. You know, the dirty little secret is, at least right now, the situation that we're in, just by virtue of the fact that you're wearing the uniform does not necessarily mean that you're serving the country. We all want to believe that, but in reality, you're serving the government, which means you're only serving the country in as much as the government serves the country. So I felt like I was placed in a situation, paradoxical as it may seem, where I had to choose between the army and the country. I chose the country. And in my mind, if you're a true patriot, that's the only decision you could make. I mean, you can't put the military over the country because there's an order of precedence at play. You know, the country comes first. The military exists to protect the country. I mean, not really the other way around. And again, in a fully functioning society, those two would not be at tension with one another. But right now they are. And so I was painted into a corner. I made the decision that I made. I absolutely believe that I'm still serving. And in some ways, again, as paradoxical as it may seem to those who don't necessarily fully understand what's going on, I actually feel like I can do a lot more out of uniform than I could if I were still in uniform right now.
As I recall, he sacrificed his pension that it would have gotten us fully vested, sacrifice that and probably millions of dollars over a lifetime, probably. But Lieutenant Colonel Brad Williams, with whom I spoke in December of 2022, he made that decision based upon the presence of tyranny and willful ignorance in his beloved military.
Yeah, so this is the way I see it, you know, and I'm looking at the same evidence. I don't have special knowledge or whatever. I'm looking at the same evidence as everybody else. I do feel like I've done a lot more homework than other people. I think that's part of the problem is people don't do any research. But the way I see it is I see a tyranny I see an architecture of tyranny that is being built around us. I think it's been going on for a long time, but it is completely in your face right now. I mean, when we look at what's happened in the last two and a half, 3 years, it is in your face. They lie to you. I mean, whether it's about the shots or whether it's about whatever, and you know, people are still believing it. And so what I say to people, whether it's just your neighbor, you know, your friends, your family, your average American citizen, or whether it's to my peers that are still in uniform, you got to wake up. You may think you're on the right side because you think that you're not necessarily personally involved in perpetuating tyranny, but you may actually be because of who you're associated with.
And that's an important point. There's a lot of people who are, in fact, keeping their heads down and serving. But if you were a police officer involved in throwing people to the ground because they would not wear woke masks, you absolutely participated in the infliction of tyranny. For no reason other than tyranny is always capricious. As a fellow talk show host says, great, well, author, talk show host, singer, brilliant man, TV host Mark Stein coined that phrase, tyranny is always capricious. Then the capriciousness is part of it. It's part of the plan. It's part of dominance. I can be capricious because I have dominance over you. God is never capricious. You notice that? God's intentional. He tells us the situation. Here's what you face if you, in fact, violate my word. These are the things that I face. God is never, ever capricious. You can track his word. It never changes. It can't change. People want to try to change it. In talking with Lieutenant Colonel Brad Williams, he is one, in fact, is the lead signer of a document pledging to restore respect in the military by being respectful, by running for office, by seeking to, in fact, populate offices with retired military members, some of them forced out of military command like Brad was because he wouldn't get injected with the gene sequencing devices. He wouldn't pretend they're vaccines because they're not. He would not lie, and we are not to lie. We talk a lot, Brad and I did, about people unable to actually comprehend what's being done to them and done to us. And this is that sometimes our worldview cannot explain what's happening because our worldview isn't expansive enough.
Did we somehow forget that maybe two egress points are better than one, and bringing everybody down to one single choke point that then we allowed the Taliban to control? Because I look at that and say, wait, did we've paid these people off hundreds of times. Was this a big payoff, giving them this equipment that they're going to use to kill Americans? So that's a decision to me that I invite someone else to give me another, you know, view of that. But does that stink of corruption to you?
Yeah, because to answer your question, no, I don't think our military forgot those things. So, no, I don't accept like just a bad decision or like incompetence or a rush decision. I don't accept any of those. I think there's more at hand. And so I think that when we look at what happened in Afghanistan and we look at what is happening with COVID, and we look at what's happening with the wokeness, and we look at what's happening with our banking and our money and everything. Yep. It's all related. It's prongs that are all part of a comprehensive strategy to erode our institutions from within. I think people need to take a more comprehensive look at what's going on and realize that all these things are connected. The other thing is with a lot of people is I think a lot of people have a worldview that is inadequate. So there are a lot of individuals out there that are trying to make sense of what's going on, and they can't. You know, they're four shots in, five shots in.
Yeah,
you know, they can't make sense of what's going on. You know, and it's yeah, you can't make sense of what's going on because your worldview is inadequate to allow you to comprehend why these things are happening. So you have to go through all these mental gymnastics to try to connect all these dots. because you don't actually understand what's going on. You need to take a deeper, more comprehensive look. And I think that's happening a lot with just the general masses, the general, you know, voter out there or citizen out there that doesn't quite understand why, how can things be so bad? How could they can't be lying about all of this. They could never get away with that.
They are lying about so much because they've become the lie. No, they've become the lie. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. Right? Jesus is the light, the true light. God is truth. When you completely abandon God, or worse, consider yourself God-like, how would you not become the lie? It would happen almost by spiritual osmosis. You think Satan wants us to be the lie? What the Lieutenant Colonel Brad Williams said in this interview I did with him on my podcast a few years ago, after he was relieved of command for refusing to take the injections, he's now back in the news with this statement that he and a bunch of other very, very well-respected senior military leaders intend to take the country back by elected office. Thank goodness they're doing it peacefully. Because men with their backgrounds, well, they wouldn't have to do it peacefully. Thank God they are. You can't fight for heaven using the tools of hell. Brad Williams, the former lieutenant colonel, talked about something else we need to be ready for, and that is all manner of attacks from our own government.
We live in a world right now where tyrannical regimes do not have to lock you up in a gulag. Now, some still do. I mean, obviously, gulags exist in, you know, China, North Korea. I mean, of course. But there are other systems that are still very tyrannical, and that tyranny can manifest itself in very sophisticated ways in which it's harder to discern exactly what is happening. And you have to equip yourself to be prepared to fight. And at one end, completely legitimate, I'm not advocating for this, but the use of force is always a legitimate recourse if other systems of recourse fail. And I hope I'm making myself clear. I mean, we believe that as Americans. We believe as Americans, I'm not openly advocating for this. No, but I'm saying in the abstract, we believe that you can defend yourself against force with force. I got guns in my house, you know? If somebody were to come in my house in the middle of the night, I mean, they would learn that very quickly. And so it's the same thing just with society at large, you know?
Right. Thank goodness they're choosing a peaceful approach to this. Thank God that they respect God and believe in him and, you know, follow his word. And speaking of God, of course, I did ask Lieutenant Colonel Brad Williams, who, along with other senior military officials, have issued a letter effectively warning the Department of Defense that they intend to restore respect to an organization they don't feel deserves it any longer. And they're right. Not the fighting men and women. And there's plenty of good people at the Department of Defense, but it's as captured an institution as exists. Brad Williams and I agree that the problem is not what people want to call secular. See, I don't believe there's anything secular because God owns everything.
Yeah. So first of all, I fully agree. I think the problem is spiritual. A lot of times we talk about, you know, political problems or geostrategic problems. And I talk a lot about those, but I will be the first one to admit that the core, most fundamental problem we have is spiritual. I think we have to define it first in those terms. Then we can look at political manifestations or geostrategic manifestations of those problems. And I think you hit on something that I think is crucial. Sadly, there are a lot of people out there who are Christians, and many of them are great people. Don't get me wrong. But I think there's still a discernment problem that is going on. And I think a large part of this discernment problem is people don't, if you ask them if they believe evil exists, they will say yes. But then if you get them to try and define how, where, or why they see that evil, the responses are only kind of lukewarm. They don't, in my mind, they don't actually believe that evil is nearly as pervasive or pernicious or comprehensive as I think it is, and as I think that we're seeing that it is. So when we look at manifestations of this evil, where we have our own leaders, and I'm using that term extremely loosely, right?
Air quotes.
We have these leaders, right? Yeah, who are supposed to protect us and look out for our best interests, and they are doing the exact opposite. And again, I do not believe that it's out of incompetence. I believe it's willful. I believe it's deliberate.
Yeah, and it's definitely deliberate upon behalf on the behalf of the enemy. He seeks to divide, to conquer, to capture, to kill, to stalk, to embarrass, to, well, accuse. He's called the accuser. What Brad and his team are doing in issuing this, well, it's a warning letter. I think that there is an undertone to this, and I will have Brad back on the show when we can make that happen. But I believe there's an undertone. And that undertone is, we are deciding to do this as peaceful men for now. That's to me, the undertone. Because I think what Brad is warning us, and you do not rise to the level of being a lieutenant colonel in the military without having some idea of how nations fall, because often it's the job of people in the military to see that nations fall without combat. I can't tell you how many of my friends in special forces are experts at the psyop of having nations collapse on their own. You know who else is? Well, Satan and the Chinese Communist Party. This is Disciples View with Todd Herman. We'll come back with the Tower of Babylon. I really appreciate you listening to AFR. Most fundamentally, important to keep this network strong because it's one that's very difficult to cancel because of your support. And frankly, because I think God selected the family that runs this, the Wildman family, to steward this into a time where words, his, most primarily, are going to be very, very difficult to get through to people in, well, modern ways. Not that radio is not modern, but it is an older technology. Thank you for that. Thank you for listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower of Babylon coming up here. It's easy to look at stories like this and become, well, sad and angry and sometimes even depressed and resigned to ruin. The separate country of California has decided not only are they going to allow kids who cross their border for whatever reason and walk into a Planned Parenthood clinic or a counseling office or a school and say, I'm not a girl, I'm a boy, that the state's going to kidnap those kids and go get them wrong sex hormones and surgical mutilation or give them an abortion. Parents have no say. They can't even hire cops to go get their kids back because they've been, well, legally kidnapped. It's not only that. California has announced they're going to provide free so-called sex changes for illegal immigrants. They call it gender-affirming care, which of course is the oxymoron of all oxymorons. They also say this will only be a covered benefit when medically necessary. When it becomes medically necessary to mutilate someone's body, then and only then will they do it. So you can read that or understand or might hear me communicate it to you. And it can get us to a point of resignation. Now, we're told not to do that because worry like that is imagining a future without God. Let's not imagine a future without God because there isn't one. There's not a past without God. There's not a presence without God. There are also happenings in our world that we need to step back and appreciate and be grateful to be allowed to participate and to watch. My friend Tom never wanted to run for office. I remember him when he was convicted by God that he needed to do something. Today in a small, well, not small any longer, smallish town in Idaho, Tom is being sworn onto the city council. He's already had people on the inside tell him, remember, everybody promises things in campaigns. Well, we don't always deliver on our promises. He's already being reminded that, look, you know what? You don't have to keep your word. I can't believe for a second that Tom won't make every possible attempt to keep his word.
He's already shared with me, man, this is something I didn't think I'd sign up for. Now that I've won the election, now the hard work begins. There's also this note from Craig. And Craig wrote to me via the ToddHermanShow.com. You can do the same thing. That's also where you get my podcast, which is 2.5 hours of God at the Center, Conservative Politics at the Edges. And I do that through podcasts. You can get the Todd Herman Show. Go to the ToddHermanShow.com. Easy enough to subscribe there. You can also email me there. Craig writes, Todd, I'll keep this short where I'm preparing for my first political event. It's a meet and greet fundraiser. Also forgive me as I'm typing this from my phone. I could blame the socialistic demonic forces trying to take over my state as the reason I'm running, as much as I could blame you. I started listening to Rush when I was a freshman in college, and I'll just, for those who are new to this program, I was a fill-in for Rush a couple hundred times. Not quite that, 150 times. A long, good time. So that's why he's mentioning Rush in a note to me. I started listening to Rush when I was a freshman in college. The Limbaugh Institute of Advanced Conservatives is the best education I received in college. A lot was going on in my life when Rush passed, and I started to listen to you that summer as I did some somewhat hard labor looking for a way out of a personal situation. I didn't find a way out. I just kept hearing you say over and over again, this is a day of choosing. I've considered myself born again since high school, but I was certainly a backslider. I still struggle, but I stepped forward to make a choice. I was baptized this summer. I'm running for state senate now. I work as a teacher, and I'm concerned that speaking the truth is going to lead to my cancellation. I try not to worry, but I do. I know what God tells us to do. I run a small Limbaugh group on Facebook, 2,000 members, and I will say to you now what I never got to say to Rush. You have more of an impact than you know. I'm using your lines. I hope you don't mind. Today is a day of choosing. It's true. I just spent years refusing to choose, and in so doing, I was making a choice. Pray for me. I'm up against a rhino establishment. I'm not a special man, but I'm choosing to fight for what's right. May God save America. Craig Hart, running for state senate. And I believe in the separate country of Washington. And yes, Godspeed to you, Craig. And you give me far too much credit. I can't control who tunes into a radio station. I have absolutely no control over what time you tune in. When I was filling in for Rush on that massive, massive network, the largest, I think, for a single talk show host that's ever existed and probably ever will, I couldn't control that Craig turned in that day. I couldn't control that Craig came along and heard a segment that appealed to him in the way that that apparently did. Had no control over that at all. Those are things that God orchestrates. We may have this belief that we choose our friends, and we can be discerning. We can say, this person refuses to walk with the Lord, and they are taking me down a bad path or exposing me to bad thoughts on a consistent basis. I can pray for them. I can tell them, hey, I cannot spend this time with you because you're living in ungodly ways, but God created the meeting. God set this all up. So it's God, Craig, that gets the credit for you being being baptized and deciding to act upon this decision to try to save your state in a godly way. I would just ask you with all dear love to you, please do not give me credit for that which belongs to God and God only. And thank you for writing and listening. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise on tall towers of shaking sand with a feature we call the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Culture is a reflection of our moment and our time. And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment.
The Tower of Babbling.
So the economy is, well, you tell me. How secure do you feel? Home sales have stalled and home buildings have stalled and the prices at the grocery store. We saw it on Thanksgiving. Never in my life as my wife walked in the door with the first words out of her mouth, $450. What? Thanksgiving meal is costing us $450 from a grocery store. But the economy is roaring. On CNN, Dana Bash asked Nancy Pelosi, why on earth isn't figurehead Biden getting more credit for this?
The economy continues to do well in many respects. Yeah. The stock market is up.
Gas prices are down. The inflation rate is at the lowest that it's been in 3 years. You joined me on State of the Union back in July. I asked why the American people weren't giving President Biden the credit that maybe he thinks he should have on the economy. You said a lot of it is about messaging, and you added that Biden just has to get out there. It is now 6 months later. That's the administration right. is still struggling on this issue. Why?
Well, I think it's time to get out there. We've had our holidays. The campaigns are beginning now. This is when people will pay attention.
That's why. Oh, and just on the topic of Dana Bash and the gas prices. Yeah, when they get up to $6 a gallon and then the figurehead Biden uses our so-called strategic oil reserves to lower them at the same time as he's selling our strategic oil reserves to China. Yeah, you can do that mirror house game where, oh, look, gas prices are low. And in 3 years, the lowest points. Let's see what happened 3 years ago. Figurehead Biden stepped into the Oval Office and just started wrecking the economy. That's the first of three clips in today's Tower Babbling. This comes from two people who absolutely belong in consistent appearances in the Tower Babbling. Jake Tapper is talking about, well, the conservative side of things on the border.
I know that the position of the Biden White House, which you used to belong to, is that boy, they've done more on the conservative side of things than any Democratic president in recent history, keeping the COVID era prescription rules in for as long as they could, in their view, tightening up asylum laws to the point that they're being sued. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, with a very important Latino base.
Yeah. Well,
my goodness. In the world in which Jake Tapper lives, man, figurehead Biden's a border hawk. Getting sued for making the asylum rules so strict as 9, soon to be 10 million people walk across the border. And if they're adults and they're called refugees, $2,200 a month, $5,000 Visa credit card, debit card, prepaid. Cell phone and a trip to wherever you want to go in the country, if that's where we want you on the electoral map. The last clip in today's Tower Babbling. Ali Velshi on MSNBC has a view on what Republicans want to do with the border. It's what?
Now, what both Trump and DeSantis are advancing in these op-eds are neither actual fixes to our country's border issues, nor are they actual immigration policy. But they are the sort of plans you can tell people you have, and they are articulating them to the public. They want to let fewer brown people in. They want immigration to be the most painful process possible. They want to set new records in deportation. Again, none of that really addresses any of the root causes of migration or the actual problems with our immigration system, which are real. But it is a plan, and it is a plan around which Republicans are largely unified.
It's a plan to be cruel, just to be cruel, just to be able to say, look how cruel we are to the brown people. In our country, there are kids who've been secreted in by coyotes, cartel members, who, as you listen to this, those children are being forced to allow men and sometimes women to carry out their evil, sinful, fleshly desires upon their bodies. There are people in our country who are, in fact, indentured, not servants, slaves, to the cartels. But yes, a secure border, well, that's just being cruel for the fun of being cruel. That's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time, and I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
I think that's a good place for you to leave it, Corinne. I mentioned earlier at the show, at the beginning of this segment, that as I wrap up the show with a personal observation, I was going to tell a brief story about having been one who participated in the Washington, D.C. system. We've been talking today, almost an accidental theme. Sometimes that happens on these shows. A theme accidentally emerges. It's the plain and complete corruption of a world built by people who consider themselves gods and people who are happy to have them act as gods, even if it's small g in their mind. And God's magnificent design. One is a city filled with lies where lying well is a virtue. You do it so well. He's a fantastic spin doctor. Versus God who doesn't lie, can't, and doesn't. We've been making those comparisons. When I was leaving Washington, D.C., having worked in the middle of that Babylon, I was coming back from the gym one day. I like to get there early and get to my desk early, get work done as it was silent. I became convicted. I didn't think of it then because I didn't speak the language of an evangelical. I was convicted. Look what you're doing. You're dividing my people needlessly with simple, silly platitudes. Fire Nancy Pelosi. Well, we did from the speaker's chair for a while. I walked past a church in my suit and tie. Yep, even I used to wear a suit and tie. And I went into that church. I set my gym bag down. I sat down in a pew. And I just bowed my head and prayed. Father God, I'm sorry. I apologize. I am so sorry. And then God did something with me that's only happened to me maybe three times in my life. He sucked the tears from me. Just became flowing out. Out of the back room came a priest. He started to walk into the sanctuary. I looked and made eye contact with him. He stopped, turned around, and went back inside. What I saw in his eyes was, yeah, I've seen this in people before, and I think you need to be alone with God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God values words, that's why we speak here until God decides it's time for you and I to chat again. May His peace wash over you. This has been A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman.